Please turn with me in the Word of God to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. I'm going to read from verse 13 through the end of the chapter. Our focus is going to be on verses 13 and 14 only this morning, but this whole section really goes all goes together in talking about following Jesus or not following Jesus. So we'll focus on verses 13 to 14, but I'd like to read from 13 through the end of the chapter. We'll take the rest of this next week. So hear the word of God. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then, you will know them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against the house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. When Jesus had finished these words, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority, and not as their scribes. We'll end our reading of God's authoritative word there. Well, some of you may be or maybe know someone who's very good with direction, with sense of direction and getting places. I'm not particularly good at that. When I started driving when I was 16, I found that I couldn't find my way to some places that I'd been many times in my life because I hadn't paid attention or didn't have a good sense of direction. It's actually much easier down here in Florida in a flat state like this or like Indiana to have a sense of direction than it is in Pennsylvania where there are no straight roads. But I'm still not great with that. I still rely heavily on my GPS, which doesn't help. And often it seems when I'm without directions, when I'm faced with a choice of two roads, when I come to a T or when I'm pulling out of a store I've never been to before, and I don't know where I am, it seems like I usually choose the wrong way for some reason when I have two options. Well, the Bible presents us with two ways, two roads, only two roads in life to take. Just a couple of examples of other places we read about these two ways. In Psalm 1, we read about these two roads. It says, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. In Jeremiah 21, verse 8, we read, and to this people you shall say, thus says the Lord, behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death. Just one other example, Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. God says, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life that you and your offspring may live. That's the message of Jesus this morning. The simple message that we're going to look at this morning, that there are two roads, and only two roads, and you have to choose which you'll go on. So I want to, by 4 points, just compare and contrast these two roads this morning. There's an outline in your bulletin, as usual. So first of all, what are these two roads like? How are these two roads described physically? Well, one of them is wide. One is a wide road. Jesus talks about a gate and a road, a wide gate and a wide road. There's not much use in trying to determine if there's a different meaning for the gate and for the road. They really mean the same thing. So we'll talk just about a road for the most part. Well, the wide road is the obvious way to go. It's the obvious attractive choice. If you're going to take a trip from Indianapolis to Denver, for example, you're going to take Interstate 70. It's a big, wide, free highway that goes straight across the country. Wouldn't make sense to take another road. It's the wide, obvious choice. The same with the wide road that Jesus is talking about. This is the road that you're born on. So it's the road you're already on, aside from any turn. To leave this road would mean to change. And we don't really like change. How much do we struggle to make significant changes in our lives that are really good for us? To quit a harmful habit, or to lose weight, or to change our standard of living to save money. These things are hard. We get settled in our ways. Last week, I mentioned Newton's third law. This morning, this passage is, this wide road is a bit like Newton's first law. Every object continues in its state of rest or of uniform motion in a straight line unless compelled to change that state by external forces acted upon it. We are at home on this wide road that Jesus is describing. It's where we are already. And so this is, again, sort of the natural, obvious choice. This is the way we're wired. This is what we choose naturally. And we understand the choices that we automatically or more naturally make on different levels. If you give me the choice between brownies and ice cream, I'll choose ice cream every time. If you give me the choice between baseball and basketball, choose basketball. If you give me the choice between a novel and nonfiction, almost always choose the nonfiction. And for you, your choices are different. But for all of us, there are certain things that we would choose. We would choose to spend time with the people that we love. We would choose comfort over pain. We would choose food over hunger. The wide road is where you're born. It's a natural choice to us. What about the other road? How's the other road described physically? This is simply the opposite. It's described as a narrow gate and a narrow road. It's not wide. This is not the road that we're on. Jesus says in verse 14, there are few who find it. This road has to be found. It's not where you are already. It has to be found. To be on this road requires effort and motivation, going out of your way. It requires that a change be made. Because it's not our natural choice. It's not the most attractive or obvious. It'd be like taking the country back roads from Indianapolis to Denver instead of Interstate 70. Well, these distinctions, wide and narrow, lead to some other distinctions. So what are the journeys, secondly? What are the journeys on this road like? Back to the wide road, the New American Standard reads this way: the gate is wide and the way is broad. If you have the ESV, you'll see that it says the way is easy. That's a good translation too. It goes a little further in the meaning of that. What it's getting at: the gate is wide, the road is easy. This is again the easy, obvious way. To go on the broad road, you don't have to do anything. You just stay where you are. It doesn't require any thinking about where you are, any consciousness about where you are. There's no choice or change. You can keep all your baggage, your current desires and practices, your likes and dislikes, and just be yourself. And it's also easy because there's no authority on this road. This way of life, there's no authority. No one telling you what to do. And who likes that? Who likes someone looking over your shoulder and telling you what to do? Keeping you accountable? Who wants to live a restricted life with strict rules? Don't you want to do what you want to do? This is the road of self-indulgence, of chasing those things that you want, of chasing your desires. It's an easy road because it's safe. It's a safe road. You stay where you are. There's no risk. You're not going to get lost. You don't have to put yourself out there or give anything up. The wide road is roomy and comfortable. Again, it feels like home. It's the easy way. Well, the narrow way, again, is the opposite. The New American Standard again has the narrow gate is small, and the way the gate is small and the way is narrow. That again, two different words. The second word could be more woodenly translated constricted. The way is constricted, and so the ESV again has something different. It says the road is hard, and that's really getting at the meaning here. This is the hard way to go. This is constricted. Jesus is probably picturing like a very narrow canyon with high walls. It's very narrow, harder to move. Very different from a wide open road on a plateau. This way is hard or constricted. It's not only narrower and the unnatural, out-of-the-way road and has to be found. It requires a choice, that a change be made. It requires hard and conscious thought about which road you're on, which road you want to be on. The narrow road that Jesus describes, that the Bible describes, is the road that is under authority. There are strict rules to live by. This road is not about what you want, about your selfish desires. It's not a place of self-indulgence, like the wide road. And it's not only a new road and a different direction, but you have to leave your baggage behind when you veer off on this road. To leave your desires, change your practice, change your thinking. You might feel constricted. This road may not feel as roomy and as comfortable, because it's hard to change. Isn't it hard to accept authority? Again, we want to choose what's natural. None of us would choose a cold over warmth or pain over ease. We would choose the easy road over the wide road. This is the road of self-denial, where you really, in one sense, leave yourself behind to take this road. This matches other statements of Jesus in this gospel. Matthew 16, about following him. Matthew 16, 24, if you want to turn ahead to that, reads this: "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Take up your cross means to die and follow me. Matthew 10, verse 39. Jesus says, whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. This is the narrow road. So we have a wide road and a narrow road, an easy road and a hard road. One way is comfortable, natural, easy, safe. You can do what you want. There's no one telling you what to do, how to live. You can live free of that. You can stay where you are and not risk anything. The other road is constricted. It's hard and difficult in ways. It's not the natural choice. You have to find it. And when you do, you place yourself under authority. You place yourself under rules. And you risk yourself, your reputation, the things that you want in life. And there's more. There's one more comparison about these roads. Two more comparisons. Very briefly, what are the populations of these roads? Jesus talks about the population on these roads. The wide road, Jesus says, has many people. There are many who enter through it. Verse 13. This is where more people are. Jesus pictures this road as having more people, even perhaps the most people on this road. This is where the crowd is. And this point really relates to the first two. You know, it's easiest and safest and most natural to go with the flow. You all know that phrase, to go with the flow. If you've ever been in a big stadium or a big arena that was packed with people for a sporting event or a concert, something like that, particularly if there's a new stadium or a new arena to you, you didn't know it well, you know, the easiest, it can be hard to find your seat and then to find which exit to go out of afterwards. The easiest thing to do at the end of one of those things is just to hop in the crowd and let it carry you out the building and then figure out where you are when you're outside. If you're trying to stop and read signs and read a map and go against the flow, it's very hard when 60,000 people are pouring out of a stadium. Going with the flow is much easier. The wide road is easier, more natural. There are more people on it. You won't stick out. You can just blend in. The narrow road, on the other hand, Jesus says, there are few who find it. Many on the one hand, few on the other hand. Again, it's the opposite. We shouldn't press the word few too far. Elsewhere, the Bible speaks of many people being saved. The point is, this is often not the most popular choice. It's not crowded like the wide road. You can't just blend in. You're going to stick out if you veer off and go with the few. Going against the flow, even. Well, why does Jesus paint such an attractive picture, seemingly, of the one road, of the wide road, and a seemingly negative picture of the narrow road? Especially since he's urging his listeners to choose the narrow, hard way. It seems he's not a very good salesman. You wouldn't expect to go into a car dealership looking for a car and have the salesman come up to you and say, I've got this beautiful Mercedes here, $40,000, it's loaded, works great, very safe car, and then take you to see an old used car, maybe a little Hyundai Accent with lots of rust. And say, you know, it's a piece of junk. It's not going to last very long. It's not worth anything. I want you to buy this car. That wouldn't make much sense. And yet that seems what Jesus is doing. Why would anyone give up the obvious, easy, natural way for the hard one? There's one simple answer. An enormously significant answer. And it has to do with the final comparison between these roads. The destinations of these two roads. There's one simple reason to stay off the wide road at all costs, because it leads to destruction. No matter how attractive and comfortable and popular this road is, its end is destruction. The wide road, that is, living for yourself and ignoring the teaching and pleading of Christ to return to God, to the image of God that you were created for, to return to a relationship with God that you were created for. The wide road, doing what you want to do, throwing off God's righteous authority, leads to destruction. And this destruction is a certainty. Jesus talks about it in Matthew 25. When he's talking about separating those at the judgment who come before him. He talks about those who did not hear and follow Christ, those who did not choose the narrow road. He says, and these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Paul also speaks of those on the wide road in Philippians 3, verse 18. He talks about the many on the wide road. He says, for many, whom I have often told you, and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. This destruction is separation from God. And if that doesn't scare you, you probably don't know and love God. That ought to be the saddest, most terrifying prospect there is. The possibility of having no communion with God for eternity. This destruction is separation from God. It's also eternal punishment. And if that doesn't scare you, you're probably not alive. Reality, it's a reality. This destruction is eternal. Someday it will be too late. So no matter how attractive living on the wide road with the world is, stay away. Save your life. The fruit that Adam and Eve took from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was very attractive. Looked like good fruit to eat. Looked like all the other fruit. It was actually death that they ate. And God had warned them of that. It's easy to see the immediate danger of some things in this life. The immediate consequences. Drugs or drag racing in the streets. We've had an example of that here recently. Brothers and sisters, all sin is death. All leads to destruction. The fact that the wide road is wide and popular and crowded means nothing. The majority means nothing to you. It was the majority who wrote slavery into our U.S. Constitution. It was the majority who followed Hitler in Germany. It's the majority who's voted to make abortion lawful in our country. Majority means nothing to you. Christ means everything. So kids, stay off the wide road. Don't ever even think about trying it out. When you're at school or with friends or when you're going off to college, when you're in your room or on your computer, remember, it leads to destruction. And parents, be diligent in leading your kids, pointing them to Christ. Don't overlook sin. Call it what it is. It leads to destruction. This is why Jesus calls us to choose the other way. The end of the other way, by contrast, is life. And Jesus says, enter through the narrow gate. Enter. He's demanding that you make a conscious choice. You make a decision. To stay on the wide road, again, there's no decision necessary. You just stay where you are. Don't think. The narrow road must be found. And Jesus points the way. He's saying, follow me. Hear me. Listen to me. Obey me. The destination is quite different. It's life. Jesus speaks of life as eternal life, ultimate life. Our ultimate life will be with God in the new heavens and the new earth. When this will no longer be the hard road, no longer be the narrow road. But Jesus is not calling you to a life now simply of misery, of no fun, and of no joy. That's not what distinguishes these two roads. The psalmist, David, in Psalm 16, verse 11, speaks of full joy with God. Fullness of joy in His presence, even now. The Bible speaks of many infinite blessings, benefits of relationship with God. Now it speaks of full satisfaction in God. Jesus prays in John 17, this high priestly prayer, that His people would know God. That they would know the Father. And we can. Paul writes many times of the peace of God that we have. Infinite blessings. Jesus speaks both of these blessings and the hardship that there is on the narrow road. Think of the rest of this Sermon on the Mount. The Beatitudes begin by describing these people as blessed, comforted, satisfied, and yet at the same time persecuted. And Jesus gives hard demands of righteousness as well. Elsewhere, Jesus goes on to say that His yoke is easy, His burden is light. And that's true. And yet He goes on to command that His followers take up their cross to follow Him. Paul, in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 10, combines these two aspects of the road to life powerfully in one verse. He's describing the Christian life, our journey on this road, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing everything. On the wide road is slavery. Even though it appears to be the road of freedom, do what you want. It's the way of slavery. It's really slavery to sin, slavery to your own desires and blindness to what God is doing in your life and where your road is going. The narrow road is the way of freedom. True freedom. True freedom is always within limits. I may have given this illustration before, but if you think of a basketball team, think of two rivals playing with each other. The only way they'll be free to actually play the game of basketball is if there are referees enforcing the rules. If no one's calling fouls, you can tackle each other and do whatever you want. You're not free to play basketball. A fish is not free to be a fish outside of the water. The narrow road is the way of security and certainty. It's the road that God has constructed, where you're free to know and love God. You're free to put aside sin. And so I hold out to you this choice. Which road will you choose? Enter through the narrow gate. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. The gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. There are many who enter through it. So choose life. If you've not chosen before, choose life for the first time. And if you have chosen, if you're on that narrow road, I just encourage you to follow Jesus, to choose that road every day. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank you for showing us the way to life. We ask that you would keep us from the lies of this world about the ease and attractiveness of the wide road. Lord, let us choose every day the narrow road and the joys and blessings in you that are on it. And Lord, we know that it's not an easy way. But we know that the end is life. We thank you for that life in Christ, and we ask that you would help us to fix our eyes on it. It's in Christ we pray. Amen.